good morning and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 49. Running a little bit behind this week. I don't know, it's something about being unemployed and something about not having a lot of set scheduling going on in my life right now. It's making me put off the show till the very last minute. So here I am on the day that the show is supposed to be posted, sitting down for the first time and talking about the show. And I forgot to introduce myself. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. Beautiful few days that we've had here in Chicago the last few days. We've sort of had a little Indian summer this week, and it's been very warm for the last couple of days. Getting ready for winter, we went out the other day and I got a new fleece hoodie to replace the one I've had for 10 years that's starting to get a little bit worn. And it's so warm today, I couldn't actually wear it. I went out to get a coffee before the show, and it was actually too hot. It's probably in the 60s outside. It's just really, really, really nice right now. So the other night I was watching a History Channel DVD. Obviously I don't have a television, so I don't watch these things live. Interesting show called The Founding Fathers. Now, like most of the History Channel stuff, it tends to be kind of fluffy. There isn't a lot of real content, and it's kind of history light, I guess is what you'd call it. But I found this series really interesting. It's a two DVD set. I guess there were four episodes of the show, basically going from the 1770 period up to about the late 1780s. And it talks about the individual founding fathers, the important founding fathers like John Hancock, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Sam Adams. Interesting. And it's interesting because this stuff would have never seen the light of day back when I was a kid. And one of the really interesting things about the show, as fluffy as it is that they don't try to gloss over the imperfections of these men. And they don't try to put them up on a pedestal of any kind. They lived in a coarse era. They lived coarse lives. They were really sort of right on the edge of the frontier. And people sometimes forget that. I think too often in this country, we look at the founding fathers as something like, a pantheon. And that they're all above reproach and they've all, these great heroes. And they are. But one of the things that has been happening over the last 20 years in history scholarship, at least here in the States, I'm not sure what it's like in other countries, is that there is more truth coming into history and the historical reporting. Some people would refer to this as revisionist history, and I kind of disagree with that because they're really not revising it. They're just reporting it accurately. And this would be in stark contrast to something like Dick Cheney trying to reinterpret what he did and that sort of thing. That's a very different matter. And that would really be revisionist history because they're actually trying to make the history out to be something it wasn't. There's actually a really good book that was written on this topic, and I'll just mention it briefly and then get on with what I was going to talk about. And it's a book that came out some years ago called Lies My Teacher Taught Me, which is actually sort of a survey of American history as taught by high school history textbooks. And if you ever have an opportunity to snag that and give it a read, I think it's really, really interesting. Anyway, I think that's nothing but a good trend because for so long, when I was a kid, you really put the founding fathers up on a pedestal. And you had these historical myths like George Washington not being able to tell a lie, that sort of thing. They really lived in a very nuanced sort of world. That's really easy to forget, 250 years later. But it is true. And I think that there should be more of this. Because I think, really, when you take these icons, people who are on our money, people who we think about in a very abstract term all the time, and they're... realize that they were imperfect human beings, that they had their flaws, and that they had their bad habits, and that they were, irascible, and they were passionate, and, they would scream at each other, and they would fight with each other. sometimes even duel with each other. When you look at what they accomplished in light of their imperfections, it makes what they accomplished all the greater. They set the foundations for the American states. I mean, this is what they did. They were the founding fathers, and we must give them their due. But they were also people who you can relate to. They're not museum pieces. So I found this series really interesting, even though it was a little bit fluffy. I do have some emails here. I have an audio comment and a couple real emails. Some new listeners, which is always great. Hooray! So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip from a new listener. And he is Trucker Tom, and he does a podcast called the Trucker Tom Podcast. I'm sure that's pretty easy to find if you go looking for it online. And he sent me a little introductory clip. So here that is, and then I'll have a few comments to make after that.
Tom. This is Tom Wiles, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I've been listening to your podcasts sometime, I guess, before you left for Europe. Scott was the one that originally sent me the link to your podcast, and so I've kind of been listening, and you know, I listened to a sample episode, and then I decided I went ahead and subscribed, and been kind of enjoying it. I kind of enjoy you talk about your travels and so on and so forth. You know, and now if you've listened to me and you did say in your latest podcast that you'd been listening, you know that I'm conservative, and you know, and I make no bones about that, but contrary to what some people might think, you might be surprised that I do enjoy listening to other points of view, especially people that are reasonable and, you know, they're not getting all emotional about, you know, about their points of view. And so I do listen, I do enjoy listening to other points of view. There's a couple of other podcasts that I listen to, and you, I don't know, you may or may not be aware of them. They're, 2600.com. One of them's called Off the Wall. Another one's called Off the Hook. And these guys are, they're on basically it's like New York Public Radio. And so they're sort of repurposed, broadcasts that are sort of repurposed into podcasts. But most of the time, unless they get really political, you know, and kind of most of the time they avoid that, but they are kind of very left-wing, and but they're kind of entertaining, and I do get information out of them as far as gadgets and, you know, and sometimes they're talking about travel and so on and so forth. So I do find those interesting, but I will listen if something is useful. Now, I don't listen to a, you know, you might be surprised, I'm not listening to a lot of right-wing stuff. Of course, I do listen to Rush Limbaugh, you know, and but, as for, you know, there's a lot of other right-wing podcasters out there, and I, you know, I'm not really listening for that. What I like to do is listen to sort of slice-of-life podcasts. That's sort of the podcast that I do. The type of podcast that I do, and that's really what I enjoy listening to. And I like, that's one of the nice things about social media is that you can kind of, at least the way I like to look at it, you know, you can kind of tune into other people's lives and sort of live almost vicariously, you know, even though you're far removed and your life may be totally different from theirs. It's you know, at the same time that it's, their life may be completely different, it's very much the same. There are some very common elements that we all share. And so I really like the slice of life type of podcasts. And again, you know, I do enjoy different viewpoints. So in any case, I'll be listening. Keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
So thank you, Tom, for your comment. I also like the sort of slice of life podcast. And this is kind of how I got into podcasting. And the first podcast that I started listening to on a regular basis was Chris Reardon's show, United Kingdom Talk. And he was really kind of the one who encouraged me to start my own podcast. So I thought that was a great podcast, and I still do. And I also don't listen to much as far as political podcasts. I was listening to a podcast called Stimulated Boredom. That was sort of the main political podcast that I would listen to. But he seems to have vanished. I had subscribed, and right at the point when I had subscribed, he seemed to lose interest in the show, and he doesn't seem to really be doing much of it anymore. Very, very interesting if you have a chance, and especially if you listen back to some of his older shows where he gets more topical. He is a very centrist sort of political person, maybe center-left. But I do like listening to other people's point of view as well, and that's one of the reasons why I listen to your show, because you do come at it from a very different point of view than, say, I do. For those of you who might be interested in listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, be aware of what you're getting into. He does an hour podcast every day. I can't imagine doing that kind of volume, but I suppose that while he's driving, because he's a real over the road trucker who I guess you record them while you're driving. Is that right, Tom? It's just amazing that the output, just amazing volume that he puts out. Now, I'm going to say that the most interesting parts of your show for me, Tom, is when you're talking about what you're doing as a trucker, that when you talk about your job. And that is in stark contrast to some of the other podcasts that I've listened to where they talk about their job. It's not that exciting, but it actually, you make it interesting. And I would kill to have the radio voice you have. And maybe part of that is because I like travel and I like to talk about travel and so forth. I'm glad that somebody likes my travel stories. I would like to tell more travel stories, but I don't know how interesting people would find that because, I've been to Europe now 9 times. I've been to Japan. I've been, kind of all around Europe and have had some interesting experiences while I'm traveling. But I don't know how other people would feel about me yammering on and on and on about this stuff. I think maybe the more recent stuff is going to interest people more. I wish I could travel all the time, and then I'd, of course, have lots of travel stories. One of my old friends, Eli, and his fiance just got back from London, and they spent a week there. They posted these accounts of their everyday activities while they were in London, and just endlessly interesting stuff. Even though they're talking about what they had for lunch, it still was very, very well written, and I love travel writing. You mentioned Rush Limbaugh. This is interesting because I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh, I wouldn't say religiously, but for a period of years, and I'd say probably from about 1988, from that political campaign in 1988 through about 92, so basically during the George Bush 1 administration, I listened to Rush about 3 times a week. And back then, I think it was a better show than it is now. I've tried listening to it, and he used to make really good points about things and have really interesting views on things, but it seems like today, when I hear him, he is just kind of parroting the party line. It's sort of the same talking points that all the other ones are saying. So it seems to me a significantly less interesting show now than it was in 1988, which I guess is fine for him, but I don't think he's as interesting now. There's one of the things about traveling is that I tend to listen to the talk, talk with radio while I'm driving around road trips and so forth. And that's because that's really one of the few things that you can find everywhere you go. And you probably know that very well being a trucker. It seems to me that the categories of stuff that you can hear is talk radio, mainly right-wing talk radio, oldies stations, because everywhere seems to have an oldies station, and religious stations. And obviously, I'm not going to be listening to the religious station. The other thing that you can get is NPR. And though you can't get that absolutely everywhere, if you're anywhere near a city of any size, you can get NPR too. Not that that's always the most interesting car listening. I think I like NPR maybe better sitting at home, but I'd be honest, I don't listen to it at home either. So what does that tell you? Warm welcome to Doug in Akeley, Iowa. Thanks, Doug, for writing. Doug has a couple comments here, and I hadn't gotten to his older comment. And I'll go ahead and start with that one. Doug is talking about when Scott and I were chatting about Christmas a couple episodes ago, episode 47. Doug says, I'm big into the Christmas stuff, the lights and the decorations. Love Christmas music as well. Start playing it around mid-November. But this year, all that stuff is totally fucked for me. Yeah, sorry about that, Doug. You know, I feel your pain. And, you know, I'm kind of in that same situation right now, too. Doug is also unemployed right now and not in a great situation. So if anybody in Akeley has a job for Doug, I think you should give it to him. If you like Christmas, I'm not a big into it, and I never have been. I really think there should be a law that says that you shouldn't be able to play Christmas music before Thanksgiving. That's kind of how I feel about it, because I get so sick of it. You know, I like Christmas music. I'm not going to lie. I like it, too. But I don't listen to it at home, you know. But if I'm out and about and say, okay, yeah, there's, you know, let it snow. Yeah, great. But, yeah, I really get tired of it if when they start it right, you know, after Halloween and keep it going until New Year's. And that's just a long time. Doug goes on, he says, so, great show, Tom, but would rather listen to you read email and go on about things than have people send audio files with their questions and comments. Interestingly enough, I prefer the emails as well. And the reason why I do is because I think that people, when they write things, tend to be more concise and to the point. And they don't go off on as many tangents. And if they do, then I can sort of interrupt it easier and, you know, insert what I'm going to say, kind of like what I did with this email. Stick in my view in the middle of it and then go on and read the rest of it. But I don't want to discourage people from sending in audio comments because, to be honest, I don't get that much email. And I'll often go for many shows without getting anything at all. And I don't really have anything to mention. So audio comments are still going to be welcome here, but so are emails. And if anybody's out there who has not written, then they should feel free to write me because I do love hearing from people. You know, any input people have is great. Doug sent another comment, and this one is about the last show, when I was talking about Indiana Jones and so forth. I had been talking about FidoNet and Usenet and the kind of the old school pre-World Wide Web internet forum type thing. Doug writes, yeah, Usenet is still alive and well with discussions and media file posts. Should put a link to your podcast or upload the file to alt.binaries.sounds.radio.misc sometimes. Our ISP here cut back on the window for posts, so a lot of the large files that get posted are incomplete. That's a real pisser, isn't it? I'm really kind of surprised, actually, that Usenet is still going, because the web has turned out to be a much superior venue for forums and so forth. But I guess there's always going to be people, probably most of the people there of our generation, people who started going on online in the early 80s, and you know, the Usenet was one of the main things. I mean, I can remember going through Cleveland Freenet, which was another, the Freenets I think are all gone now too, which is another predecessor to the World Wide Web, the Gopher servers. And you do a Gopher server into another bulletin board system, and you would get, you know, be able to get access to Usenet news groups and so forth that you didn't have access to before. Interesting. You know, how complicated was that when you'd have to go through a Gopher server to get to Gaynet, or you'd have to go through a Gopher server to get to AltFan Lemurs? AltFan Lemurs was one of the Usenet groups I was subscribed to, which was a lot of fun. And I think I was part of a Pink Floyd group and you know, various music-related Usenet things. The last time I accessed any of that stuff was a few years ago, probably 10 years ago, you know, when I was off at Ohio University. And I had it set up in Outlook to bring me the Talk Origins posts, and I talked about Talk Origins in previous show, but I mean, there was a lot of volume too, and that, and so it got to be too much to, some of it was pretty dense scientific jargon, and I, it was kind of over my head, but I'm glad to see it's still alive and well. I guess that it's going to be kind of a dinosaur now. He goes on to talk about Indiana Jones here. I'll agree with you that the last indie movie did not have much that was new, but it was a fun ride. And it had cute moments like when the crate that had the Ark in it got broke open. and Indie Sun was hot. I have the 4-movie box set. I enjoyed this newer indie film a lot more than the last Star Trek film. Now, that was more of the same old, same old. Plus, the movie theater was too cold, and about midway into the movie, I had to take a piss, but did not want to miss any of the movie. So that added up to me not enjoying the film. Star Trek has been done to death. Time to move on. Great show, Tom. Thank you once again, Doug. I don't know if Star Trek has been done to death. I think that the Next Generation continuity maybe has been done to death. I'm interested in this new Star Trek continuity, though, and I'm interested to see what they'll do with it. I kind of don't want them to do a TV series of it. And I mentioned this in the show that I talked about, the remake of Trek, when I talked about that. Yeah, there were some cute moments in the last indie movie. I don't think, though, that it was a great film. But that was one of the things that I think that they've done consistently. They've always had these sort of cute moments. They've always had the Ark making little cameos in the later Indiana Jones film. So, yeah, interesting stuff. Thanks, Doug. Doug, a longtime listener to the show, and always good to hear from him. And I have one last email here. This is coming from a familiar face to a lot of my listeners here. This is from Robert Pels in Iceland. Robert in Iceland. So now I can mangle the Icelandic phrases he uses as well. Well, let me know how my pronunciation of these things is, Robert, because I don't speak Icelandic and I won't pretend to. Anyway, Robert had this to say. Sal, Tom, I have finally caught up with your back catalog, and I must say I loved every show. Well, thank you very much, sir. I agreed with some of your opinions and not others, and that for me is how things should be. Yeah, me too. One should always question everything and not hide behind weasel concepts like take it on faith. I'm a contributor to United Kingdom Talk, and I'm glad to say I am as mad as a hatter. I am the self-appointed king of the Icelandic elves. I currently have living under my stairs a number of elves. My butler elf is called Smarty Pants. Yes, you just knew that one of these days some nutcase from Iceland would write in. For those of you who have been listening to United Kingdom Talk are very familiar with Robert and his elves. I have to say, Robert, can I be the section chief in charge of the Chicago elves? I'd quite like that, actually. I'd love to believe in elves. I can only imagine what Chicago elves would be like. You know, because you have the north side elves and the south side elves. And, da bulls, da bears, da elves. So, yeah, you know, Robert wrote this really interesting little fun story that I think was in 9 parts that Chris read out on his show, United Kingdom Talk. And, of course, I'm very familiar with hearing about Robert and his elves. So thank you very much, sir. And I had noticed in my usage statistics that I had some downloads from Iceland, and I kind of thought it might be you. So I'm glad you finally wrote in. Robert goes on. He says, I feel that there is something just outside of our understanding in the paranormal, and our lack of understanding will remain thus until we have matured enough to understand. It is rather like trying to understand quantum theory, the maxim being that if one does understand quantum theory, then in fact one does not understand this theory. Your views on religion, for example, try to quantify it and subject it to scientific method. It could be that religion, like quantum, changes its very nature when subjected to analysis. I'm not sure. However, I thank you for challenging accepted beliefs. Well, thank you again. Of course, the paranormal is an interesting topic, and it's one that I've come back to. Now, most of my objection to the paranormal, and I use that in quotes, is that most of it is not really paranormal. There's a lot of things that we can't explain about the universe. However, I do think that we can explain most of these things scientifically. Those things that we are not able to explain scientifically now doesn't necessarily mean that we won't be able to in the future. And I talked, I think in my second episode, I talked about my theory about ghosts and how I don't think that ghosts are the spirits of the dead, but at the same time, I think that people are seeing something that can't be explained. And that's the sort of approach that I take to it. Yeah, I do kind of take things, scientifically speaking, and try to quantify them. And that is just what I do. But at the same time, there is a lot of mystery in the universe. Even when you are not a supernaturalist and believe in religion and so forth. Now, one of the things that interests me, Robert, talking about the elves, and you talk about this all the time, I've actually said on the show before that I really wish I could believe in elves. And when I was in Ireland, there was a tradition in Ireland of the Tuatha Danann, the little people, who essentially, I'm assuming, are the same as your elves that you have in Iceland. And actually had pointed out to me when I was in a little town on the coast, and I'm trying to think of the name of it, and I probably will fail and have to go back and edit this later when I finally think of it. Doolin, that's it, Doolin. But there was an elf site there where there's an underground elf burrow, and they in Ireland believe that wherever the elves set up a colony or whatever, I don't know, the elves live in colonies. I'm not sure. You're the expert. You tell me. The hawthorn trees grow there, and that the elves plant hawthorn trees because those are the things that the elves find comforting or holy, and you don't want to offend the elves by chopping down a hawthorn tree. And I can see, you know, in Ireland at least, people really believe this, and farmers will plow their fields around a hawthorn tree because they don't want to cut it down for fear of offending the elves. Anyway, when I was in Doolin, I spent some time there. Now, Doolin is one of those towns that is known for traditional Irish culture, and in specific, for Doolin, it's a town that's known for Irish music, traditional music, and they have a pub there that is a music pub, and we went there and listened to it. And after listening for a while, I decided I was going to wander around outside. Pitch black, overcast night, and just incredibly dark. And I'd had a couple pints and kind of wandered over to the elf site, which was just a couple hundred yards down the road, about a half mile maybe from the pub, and wandered, and I sat there right by the entrance of this little underground cave where the elves are supposed to be. Very peaceful little situation there. Really quite enjoyed it. Was hoping to see elves, but I didn't. Oh, well. I did, however, see dolphins, interestingly enough, and that wasn't by the elf burrow. There weren't dolphins living with the elves underground. But the town of Doolin is also a port. It's a place where the ferries go to the Aran Islands, kind of the west coast of Ireland. So, very nice little town there. Anyway, kind of got off the subject of elves. But, anyway, I would really like to believe that there are such things as elves. But I do have a hard time with that for obvious reasons. But, you know, I suppose if an elf ever came and introduced himself to me, I would certainly be convinced. Now, as I understand it, and you didn't talk about this in your email, Robert, but Robert is, in addition to being the king of the Icelandic elves. Wait, I'm unclear on this for a second. Okay, so are you an elf or not? Because you'd think if you're going to be king of the elves, then you would have to be an elf, right? That only makes sense. But anyway, in addition to being the king of the Icelandic elves, Robert is an airplane pilot. And that's really exciting. So I think that Robert should come here and pick me up and fly me to Iceland and put me up while I explore Iceland. That's one country, actually, that I would really like to see, and I haven't been there yet. The main thing I'm interested in, you know, is the scenery. Of course, you know, the glaciers and the hot springs and the mountains and all that. That sounds really exciting. I worry, though, a little bit, if I were to go to Iceland, about the food, because I'm a vegetarian, and that might not be a real good match. Anyway, I'm out of time, so thanks very much for listening, and see you next time at episode number 50. This is Tom Harris, Tom Harris USA, signing off.